The Tights and Fights podcast, for over 6 years, a revolutionary force in sports and entertainment.
All these pieces of trash in here represent every single one of you.
Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. It's true. It's damn true. I'm your Olympian hero, Hal Lublin, and I'm joined by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, Dan W.O., Danielle Radford.
Hi, I think you just said something about me, but my cat's currently trying to pull out my earbud.
You're good. Oh, wait, our cat correspondent, Danielle Radford. Danielle, sorry, are you there? Sorry, do we have you, Danielle?
Hi. Yes, sorry. I'm back. I'm so sorry. This is like, my cat's now doing that version of the thing of like someone sees a reporter getting started and is doing shenanigans in the background.
Yeah.
You need to calm down or you're not getting any more nip. I'm so sorry. I literally just apologized for this before we started. I'm
so sorry. We're also joined by NWO Wolf Kelk, Lindsay Kelk.
Hi. That's a fun one, isn't it? I'll be a wolf.
Yeah.
I'd be a wolf. Yeah. I reckon it'd be fun to be a wolf.
Ooh, I want a shirt that's a three kelk moon. Someone do this for me, please. I want a three kelk moon.
I'll post the pictures if it helps. I'll
that's
do
a
it.
Next I want shirt. It.
Yeah, I mean, like,
I need it so bad.
Let's do it.
I have a birthday coming up in 8 months.
Let's do it. We are also joined by a fellow Max Fun Network host in honor of Max Fun Drive. From Eurovangelists, one of the network's newest shows, it's Dimitri Curb Stompe Pompey. Welcome to Tights and Fights, Dimitri. It's great to have you.
Wow. That was really good. I was expecting, you know, NWO 2000, but you really did me an honor here. To borrow from Kevin Nash, I hear this is where the big boys play. Listen to the adjective. I'm not here to play.
Man, you know, I've met Kevin Nash. He's a very intelligent, well-spoken person. Enough that you'd think he would know the difference between an adjective and a verb, but I watched that today. I'm so glad you pulled it out because it bothered me immensely that he said adjective and then followed it up with the word play. Which is never an adjective, even like a play stick or something. That's part of the noun.
Not enough to justify him using that quote.
No, terrible.
Before we get started with the wrestling, I super need you to explain to everybody about your podcast as someone who has made it. This is the year I get way too into Eurovision and make it my whole personality. Let's go. Explain, please.
Ah. You're putting me on the spot here. But thankfully, I've been doing this for a long time because I've loved Eurovision for 20 years. And lots of people ask me, what the hell are you talking about when you won't stop talking about that amazing thing, Eurovision?
We can relate.
Just a hair. In short, Eurovision is the European Broadcasting Union's annual song contest where every nation or lots of nations in Europe each bring a song and artist to perform in a live competition to determine which song is the best. It is incredible. This is not your American Idol. These songs are often about very serious things or completely bonkers thing, like a sad clown or, you know, a person who may or may not be trying to lure everyone into a cult. Or you could sing about something meaningful, like a hydroelectric dam that is destroying a small Sami village in Finland. It's pomp, it's circumstance, it's spectacle, it's virtuosity, it's silly, it's serious. And I honestly think if I'm doing the Doctor Strange thing where I'm trying to see a bunch of futures, we don't get to world peace without Eurovision.
Love it. No notes.
Like fuck, that. You sold Love me. It. I'm right. Oh, no, this is going to be the year that I become, this is going to be my new annoying trait. I was like, there's really no reason. The spectacle, like everything surrounding it, there's no reason why I have not gotten just like dick deep into Eurovision.
We
Come
want
on
you.
Down.
I mean, I'm English, so obviously this is a very big part of, genuinely a huge part of our culture, mainly because we're terrible at it, mainly because we are notoriously dreadful and every other country hates us. So
used to be good, have been bad, but getting better at.
Brotherhood of Man, good. Box Fizz, good. And then it went terribly, terribly wrong.
Was Sam Ryder 2 years ago?
Sam Ryder was 2022, came in second place, yes.
I was following him on TikTok early on in pandemic, where he would just record songs. I would watch him and go, how is this guy not famous around the world? Like, one of the most pure voices I've ever heard, can do everything from low to high, like incredible head voice. Everything he does is pitch perfect and controlled and professional. So when I saw he was in Eurovision, I was like, for sure he's winning. So the fact that he finished second, that is a huge deal.
It was very close, and his performance is a very good indicator of what to expect. It's a very thoughtful, meaningful song, and he uses his staging to simulate a rocket launch into space, mm-hmm. which is just incredible. And that was one of the more subtle performances that year.
Fuck subtle. I watch wrestling. Hit me in the face with meaning.
Yeah.
As somebody who has probably watched Eurovision a bunch, and myself as somebody who just watched it earlier this year, I would say that my favorite one was the controversy that happened in last year's Eurovision, which was Katia. Getting chanted over and not winning despite being the clear crowd favorite. And he should have won also because his music video was a wrestling music video, if you go back and watch it for that suck.
Look, it was a big controversy between Sweden's Loreen and Finland's Karja, two heavyweight songs going at it. Imagine, if you will, wrestling fans, two favorites of various factions going after one top prize, and two deserving competitors, but only one can win. Other people might have some issues with who got over in that one. So it was quite the controversy. The whole arena was chanting Cha-Cha-Cha, which was Karja's song, to the point where the host, Hannah Waddingham of Ted Lasso fame, and also an amazing voice, had to be like, people, will you calm the hell down? I'm trying to announce the results of this show. It was phenomenal. Phenomenal. But look, that's just... If you're not sold on Eurovision yet and you're a wrestling fan, I'm going to describe something real quick. I wrote this down. There's an annual event where 30 or so competitors, each person arrives wearing a gaudy costume and is cued by music that is instantly recognizable by hundreds of thousands of fans. Also, an inordinate amount of these competitors are hot. Only one person can win each year, and only a handful of people have managed to win twice. Am I describing Eurovision or the Royal Rumble? I'm describing both.
Perfect.
Beautiful.
Did Eurovision take you to wrestling? Did wrestling take you to Eurovision? Did they develop? Because there are similarities, obviously, not only in the Royal Rumble, but just the idea of pageantry and the spirit of competition. Where did you start with wrestling?
It's a great question. I loved wrestling when I was a child. I was a big, big WWE guy. But I transitioned out of wrestling right around, and I remember very specifically, it was Kurt Angle doing the milk truck angle. Mm. I had been down on wrestling, and my passion had decreased since the Attitude Era was ending, and we were entering the mid-aughts. And once Kurt Angle did the milk truck...
My God! What is that? That's Kurt Angle, all right, but... It's a damn milk truck! Kurt Angle's driving a milk truck!
I specifically said to myself, and I remember it very, very clearly, like, it's probably not going to get any better than this, and this is awesome. This might be the place to jump off. And that was around 2001, 2002, I'm unsure exactly, but I found Eurovision in 2003. Mm. So it was, once one passion left, another one came in, and now I'm glad to have both of them in my life.
What brought you back to wrestling?
I had a dear friend of mine who hosted barbecues and parties for both SummerSlam and WrestleMania. It was WrestleMania 31, specifically Brock Roman #1/ the heist of the century. I didn't know who any of those guys were. I vaguely knew who Brock Lesnar was because of UFC. Roman and Brock going at it, that alone was captivating. But when Seth Rollins came in and stole the title with the Money in the Bank contract.
First time in WrestleMania history, someone's cashing Money in the Bank and logging out. WWE World Heavyweight Champion,
Seth Rollins.
He stole one.
Rollins with the heist of the century.
Brilliant.
Seth Rollins.
I didn't know that was a thing. Money in Bank wasn't around when I was watching. Yeah. So once I understood what was happening, I was like, this is an amazing... The storytelling in this match is incredible. And as they always want after an amazing WrestleMania, you got to watch the next night. And after that, I was back. I was back in the fold.
What a great WrestleMania to stumble onto. For that reason, that was it was a very weird WrestleMania in a lot of ways. Also, yeah. Almost...
Rusev had a tank in Rusev's that WrestleMania.
Yeah, the Rusev tank, yes.
Is there anything more the Eurovision tank. Than Rusev coming in on a tank, waving a flag? Like, it's pretty Eurovision.
Yeah, I mean, Bulgaria would be proud to have Rusev roll up in Eurovision. I think they would score in top 10.
Sure. Let's get him on the phone. He's not as busy as he could be. I just think if we gave him the right song, because he doesn't have to write his own song, we could write it for him.
Are you still, Dimitri, are you still all WWE? Do you watch AEW or TNA? Have you branched out into any other promotions?
In fact, WWE might be what I watch the least, but I'm still watching it. I typically consume anywhere between 5 and 8 hours of wrestling a week. Most of that is AEW. I love New Japan. I've now, ever since I've got a $10 app that I can watch everything on, I don't miss a Wrestle Kingdom anymore. Battle in the Valley was one of my favorite events of recent memory. I certainly try to catch TNA now that it's so readily available and it seems to be on an upward swing. Mm-hmm. But typically in my diet is New Japan, WWE, and AEW.
Let me ask you, because you like WWE and you also love AEW, Kazuchika Okada recently made his AEW debut. How interested are you in the work he's going to do now versus if he had decided to go to WWE?
That's a tough question. You know, he has so many wonderful friends in AEW, and unfortunately, one of those friends and fans is Tony Khan, which is going to be an issue for him, because no matter what he does as a performer, he's at the whims of a man who, again, I like this company a lot, but the man should not have the book. So that's an issue for him, because what makes him work is all the chemistry he has with his friends there, which means that they need good stories to build on the past and then grow the future. On the other hand, WWE's on an upswing. He doesn't know as many people there, and WWE's record with foreign talent, especially Japanese talent, is suspect. And I have been given little reason to believe that that is changing. You can only tease Shinsuke Nakamura beating Seth Rollins so many times before I'm on to your game. So... I it's tough. Tony can't do it all. He can't do any of it, honestly, these days. It's the workers and the employees. It's the wrestlers who are carrying this thing. And I don't want him to walk into an environment in which his great talent is misused, especially as he is not at the zenith of his career, but approaching what should be a worthy ending.
Let Bryan Danielson book him. You know, like, maybe let's Bryan Danielson book him, and then...
Look, if Bryan books him, at least he might fight a bear.
Right? I'd watch that.
I'd watch it.
I mean, even if it's a man dressed as a bear, I'm into it. I'm just saying, let's mix it up.
Still, same. Changes nothing.
Yeah, he's wrestled a blow-up doll, so it's time to move on.
Look, put Miro in the bear suit, and then two people have stories. What
two
more
bears,
do you want?
Stone.
Bear and a bear.
And put that on the Eurovision stage and put some pop music behind it. We've got a winner.
Save your kisses for me. And that'll be in the background and it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
You can't see my legs.
We're
going to
do the dance, but we are doing it. Trust us.
We have much to discuss. I think we're going to have each and every one of you on Eurovangelist, whether you know Eurovision or not, because I think that's what makes the show work. We're going to do some promo real quick. I think that's what makes the show work. We have three hosts who are equally passionate about Eurovision. But we have my friend Jeremy Bent, who has seen two. We have my dear friend Oscar Montoya, the busiest man, Oscar. The hardest working man in showbiz, who has seen every Eurovision, but has only discovered the contest in 2020. And then there's me, who discovered it in 2003, has watched every one, and has each Eurovision saved on a hard drive that I keep in a fireproof lockbox right next to my passport. So
I'm just gonna kayfabe that into being true. Like, I've decided that's true. I don't need to know if that was fake or not.
I will show you a photo
in my heart.
I will show you a photo.
Before we get out of this segment, there's been a lot going on in the news. I know you watch 5 to 8 hours of wrestling per week. to what extent are you keeping up with all the outside stuff, like Vince McMahon resigning in shame, the business parts of it, AEW posts, their value went up even though they're losing money, like they're losing money, their live events. Do you follow any of that stuff, or are you more product focused? I feel like I know the answer, but
I hate the internet. Despite the fact that it can do so many wonderful things like enable this conversation, I have hated the internet for years at this point, ever since the end of Google Reader, honestly. I find that I enjoy wrestling more when I don't engage with Reddit or Discord or anything that brings me into contact with the internet wrestling community. You know, there's lots of great people there who are just trying to voice their opinions, but there are plenty of other loud, annoying, horrible people who are voicing their awful opinions, and they're doing it more consistently. So I generally try to only watch the product and listen to fine podcasts like this one. But there are certain stories that are unavoidable. The fact that the Vince story broke in NPR and, you know, the Wall Street Journal, there's no getting around that. This is the kind of story like you can't run from. Like, we as a people need to say, this is a horrible thing that our society enabled. It's happening God knows where else. And we need to stare it in the face so we can finally figure out a way to keep people like Vince McMahon away from the reins of power, keep the workers safe, keep the employees safe, and let the art thrive. That's why I don't want to engage with the kind of story, but we all have to, and we all should. And it sucks, but that's part of being a fan. That's part of being a fan, unfortunately.
It is part of being a fan. But the other part is you do get to come on this show. And in addition to having you on as a wrestling fan, we have you here because it's Max Fun Drive. And we want to give love to some of the other shows and also talk to you about what Max Fun Drive is, you out there in the nation of conversation.
And what brought me and the rest of the Eurovangelists over to Max Fun is this passionate fan base, the smart, talented, diverse group of weirdos who like podcasts about everything, who like podcasts about nothing. And when you see that passion during the Max Fun Drive, and it just warms my heart to see all these people coming together to help us build great podcasts, I will say you can check the box for Tights and Fights, and I absolutely will. You can also check the box for your evangelist, which would be absolutely delightful.
It's right 100%. There. It's right there. So please do it. We can tick all the boxes of the shows that you listen to. That's what we're going to do right now. We're going to support all the shows that we love. Because this is the time to step up and say you love, L-O-V-E, Max Fun's particular brand of podcasting, especially if you're a fan of shows that speak to very specific fandoms like ours, like Tights and Fights, and your evangelists. We're going to talk about some of the advantages of the higher levels of support later on, but $5 a month is a great place to start because you will get hundreds, I don't know if I can emphasize this enough, hundreds of hours of...
That's probably more.
It's more.
I feel like hundreds is making it safe. It's a lot more than that.
It's trillions of hours.
By the time you get through some of the bonus content, you will already be at the next Max Fun Drive, and it will continue to grow. So it's like the Sorcerer's Apprentice. You'll never be able to clean that dungeon. It's just going to fill with the suds of bonus content till your ears are overflowing. You know what to do, but I'm going to tell you one more time. Go to MaximumFun.org/join. Check the box for Eurovangelists. Check the box for Tights and Fights. Check the box for all of the Max Fun shows that you listen to, because that is the only way that your membership specifically benefits those shows. So support the art and artists that you love at MaximumFun.org/join and get great gifts like bonus content for doing it. We're going to talk even more about the drive later on in the show, but for now, it's time to give one corner of wrestling some extra attention. This is our main event.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Anal bleeding.
Whoa! Yeah!
Get a life, kid.
Rhymes with shit.
Holy shit.
WWE.com. I love cake. I hate
dogs. Look at this face.
And a hard-fought victory.
Live, pal.
What?
When Eric Bischoff took over WCW, he did well by signing some of the biggest wrestlers of the 1980s to get people excited. But when Scott Hall and Kevin Nash joined the company, he paired them up with Hulk Hogan as the third man to form the NWO.
Hulk Hogan arrived! Hulk! What is he doing?
Oh my God! Is he the third man?
He's the third man!
What the hell is going on here?
Hulk Hogan has betrayed WCW!
you. He is the third man.
Look at this picture.
Oh, my God.
What the hell is going on?
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding me?
I remember when this happened. I was definitely aware. But also, WWE was already running the ads in the mid to late 90s where they had like an old version of Hogan and an old version of the Macho Man, and that was where this is where the big boys play with Nash and with Hall, and them showing up originally, they played it off as if they were two guys from WWF who had come onto the show to ruin it. And then
the lawyers called.
Well, yeah, I mean, the deals that they were handing out at WCW were insane just to begin with. Mm-hmm. Did anybody here watch it as it was happening?
I did.
Dimitri.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear that. I wasn't even watching wrestling at that point because like I did not come in until late 98, sometime during 99. So I missed all of that. So by the time I started, like I do remember, oh, this is so nerdy. Like back in drama club, we had kids who were really into the Wolf Pack and they would like talk about the Wolf Pack and I would be like, what's this nerd shit you're talking about? And then like a couple of months later, you've got me fucking marking out the most that anyone's ever marked out in their entire life and then did that for the rest of my life. But yeah, so I remember that happening, but I missed all of that stuff around it. To the point where I remember someone mentioning that it was happening even when I had started watching WWF at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Hogan's still wrestling? Isn't he 80? But I was a child. And to children, everyone over 20 is 80. Yeah.
Wrestling is a generous term for it.
Yeah. I don't know if we even had WCW in the UK at that time. I'm sure we did, but I don't know where it would be. So I had no concept of WCW until much, much later. And it's sad. I was a big Razor Ramon and Diesel girly. Like, and then when I found out about this much, much, much later after the fact, I think my exact response was, what? What the fuck? and you look at it in hindsight, it makes no sense. As like when you're like, wait, so they left that, they did, and then they did what? Because this was all after everything, after all the dust had settled. So coming back to it from a long time out is a fun visit.
Yeah. Now, Dimitri, you were watching as a kid. You mentioned the 1-2-3 kid beating Razor Ramon, which I think was in like 93 on Raw. I remember I was watching too. I remember watching that. I was a little older than you, but it's fine. We're not going to talk about that part of it. So you watched these guys become huge WWF stars, and then all of a sudden they're on the other program. What was that experience like for you? What did you think of it? Because you're still a kid at this point, yeah?
Yes, I remember when they formed the NWO, I was seven years old. So I was not very clued into like how people left companies and how they do other ones. That's not something that let's say 4 to 7 year old can really understand. All I knew is that there was this one company that my older brother really liked. It was WCW. And it seemed like it had a little more, let's say, edge to be. I mean, I hate that term, but it seemed like cool. And every kid wants to do what their older sibling's doing. So as my brother gravitated away from WWF at the time, you know, I too followed along. And I remember, I don't know how we convinced our parents to let us buy Bash at the Beach, because my parents were not people. My parents were two immigrants from Haiti, and the idea of spending that much money on a pay-per-view for wrestling was anathema to them. But somehow, maybe we begged and cried enough, they bought us Bash at the Beach. And I remember watching the event, and I remember hearing like about this third man, and I had no idea who it was going to be because I'm seven. And then Hulk Hogan comes out after the Outsiders are running rampant all over WCW. And I'm like, well, I know him. I know he's a good guy. I know he's going to save the day. And then he decidedly did not. He did not save the day. He had turned. He was a heel now. He came out the next night or the next show all in black, and it was crazy. It was hard for me to conceptualize. They announced themselves as a new world order. And just to show you how much I was into the product, I remember very specifically when they first called themselves the New World Order, I ran to my parents' bedroom and I was like crying. I was like, oh my God, Hulk Hogan and Scott Hall, they're taking over the world and someone needs to call the president because they're beating everybody up. I legitimately thought they were going to take over the world and start a new world order. I was terrified.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic.
I was, I think the medical term is a fucking idiot.
Rough on yourself, son. Rough on yourself. You're a child. And it's genuinely scary. It's genuinely scary. The idea of Hulk Hogan being in charge of literally anything. Like, I wouldn't put him in charge of a Chick-fil-A. Like, no. Yeah. Don't do this. Oh,
and what,
Terry.
What really sold it was that they would come out every week and just demolish other competitors. They'd seize control of the broadcast booth. They'd jump into the camera room and mess with the operators. They just couldn't be stopped. And as a viewer who had never seen anything like this before, they were breaking the mold. It didn't seem like this was anything that TNT had under control. It really did seem like Hulk Hogan, Scott Nash, and Razor Ramon were tearing things up, running the show, and no one could stop them. It was legitimately terrifying, but it was also must-see TV.
It's weird. You know, here we are in 2024, and I think for a number of modern fans, or at least a section of them, if you bring up WCW, all they can think of is that's the company that competed for a while and then completely failed and was purchased for like $5 million. It was some stupid low amount of money, less than Hogan was making a year when on just to sit at home afterwards, probably. But the Outsiders initially, and then adding Hogan in, but the Outsiders initially was such a huge deal and really like gave rise to the cool heel. The cool heel didn't really exist before them. You just booed the bad guys. And just by doing what they were doing, they became cool. And the rest of WCW became not cool. So you have this balance that takes place because wrestlers aren't dumb people. They want to be over any way they can. And we go from Nash, Hall, and Hogan to Nash, Hall, and Hogan and DiBiase. And then we bring in Virgil, but he's Vincent. Then Eric Bischoff is part of the NWO. They expanded. I mean, at a certain point, there were very few WCW people left. Here are just a few. I'm going to run through just a few people. If you want to throw in more, feel free. We have the Giant, a.k.a. the Big Show. We have Six, better known as X-Pac. We have Vincent, of course, Buff Bagwell. The Great Muta was in the NWO. The Disciple, a.k.a. Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Dusty Rhodes, that was a big deal when he took off his button-down shirt and had the NWO on it. Dennis Rodman, of course. I mean, he didn't come in. Mm-hmm. I mean,
Mac Tonight. The old McDonald's.
I'm sorry. Is this a joke? Because I don't remember this. Okay, sorry.
Yes.
I was very.
But
concerned.
He could have been. But he could have been.
The fact he was black that and white is possible. Yeah. That Mac Tonight could have been the NWO just tells you everything you need to know about WCW at the time.
Yeah.
Wasn't there like a Juggalo World Order at one point?
Yes. Oh, well, no, there's a Juggalo World Order. They had their own promotion.
Good Lord.
But they were in WCW.
They were in WCW.
Yeah, they were on feature matches on pay-per-view. It was absurd.
Yes. Shaggy Too Dope.
Yep.
Yes.
Showing up to wrestle.
And they were the Juggalo World Order. Okay, I knew I wasn't.
Okay.
No, that was real.
I knew I wasn't high on Faygo.
Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope showing up on WCW pay-per-views. Whoop, whoop. Could you imagine if I was a secret juggalo and this is how you found out? Like, I just knew a lot about them.
Hal just starts sweating and the makeup comes off like the Joker in 1989 Batman.
You would melt like somebody opened the Ark.
All of a sudden it's just juggalo paint underneath.
It makes sense because it might have just been that perfect 90s timing, but that's kind of the way culture was going at the time. Superman was out and Tim Burton's Batman was in. Spawn was a thing. It just seemed like in the 90s, being the anti-hero or the bad guy even was just the way to go. I mean, the fact that Dennis Rodman was the most popular player in the NBA aside from Michael Jordan, and he was known for tearing up all sorts of convention outside the NBA, inside the NBA. It just felt like everyone wanted to develop a little more edge. And I don't know. I'm not going to credit Eric Bischoff with much, but maybe he felt the pulse of society going one way. And it was like, this is the way that I think we can establish ourselves as a different brand, because that is decidedly not what WWF was doing at the time. And as a reaction, look what happened. We got ourselves the Monday Night Wars, and then everyone was kind of doing it. And that was like you said, Hal, that was the weakness of the NWO. You could tell right when you said Virgil that things had taken a turn.
Well, and the fact that, you know, it's both the reason that it worked and to your point of the good guy wasn't great anymore. Even someone, talk about people who are all right occasionally, even fucking Terry was like, they originally, he heard about the idea, he was not supposed to be the third man, and he was like,
that's supposed to be Sting.
Oh, this is really cool, and it's gonna make me look like an old fucking piece of shit, so let's table that and have that happen again in 20 something years, but for now I'm gonna be cool. And so he decided that he wanted to be part of the cool thing, because that's what was happening. And so that's, and it was a big part of what made the NWO work, was that it was like, Hogan's a bad guy, oh shit, but it's also what made it like cool.
What I find very interesting about the NWO, and I know there are going to be people who disagree, but watch the matches, you'll see. They had the backstage segments, they had the entrances, they had the music, they had the interference, but their matches, especially Hogan's matches, were not particularly good. Like, most of the NWO matches were the worst matches on any given card.
It's just but vibes. It They're just vibes. They don't need to be talent. It's just vibes. Like, just let it happen. It's just vibes. It's just, like, don't look at what's happening. Just feel it. Just, it's like salt burn. Like, don't look too close. Just, it's fine. Just allow it to wash over you. It's Shakespeare. Just feel it.
Like, there would be so many matches where Hogan would, because they just recycled matches a bunch. Hogan would wrestle Ric Flair or Roddy Piper, who's well past his prime at this point. So many surgeries, so many injuries, and it would just be two old dudes slapping each other. And
I don't know why I'm laughing, but that is really. I'm like, do you know what? Like, there's the title for a show. Like, just two old dudes slapping each other.
I would watch it every day. That's appointment television.
In 1982 or 83, when Vince McMahon bought WWF from his father and started buying out regional promotions and building WWF into a national brand, I would argue, regardless of how he is as a human being, that he saved professional wrestling, because the way that media was going at that time with cable television, we were watching the same thing more and more. So these regional things didn't play as well. That cable kind of killed a lot of local television. So he got ahead of that and turned wrestling into a national product. I think by time the early to mid 90s came along, and you clued into this perfectly, Dimitri, the idea that we were, as a society, were turning towards the anti-hero and darker things. Meanwhile, he still has wrestling plumbers and these cartoon characters, definite good, definite evil, that just wasn't playing anymore. And I think had there not been direct competition from Eric Bischoff and the outsiders / New World Order, wrestling could have died again, because it just, he didn't catch up. So I would say that Vince saved it once and Eric saved it a second time. As weird as that is to say, and this is occurring to me in this moment. This is not something I've...
Man, look, that Onion article picture gets retweeted for a reason. it's the one that the worst person you've ever met has a great point. Mm-hmm. For their time, those dudes knew like what worked. It's just the fact that they're not the kind of folks who still keep their ear to the ground.
But yeah, I mean, like you say, Hal, even the, you know, stop clocks, right? Like, a stop clock is right twice a day. You can be right one time and still be wrong the rest of the time.
That's the issue. They had an A-grade idea that grew and grew. And in absence of any other ideas, they just kept hitting the NWO button again and again and again. And it's interesting, there is a special that I recommended to everybody that you can watch. If you have Peacock, it's called NWO The Revolution. It's from 2012. And Kevin Nash is pretty, like, I knew it was getting bad. Like, he knew pretty early on, like, this is not going to go well. And when they had their own pay-per-view, he's like, people don't want this. Like, you know, you've got a sense of how it's going. They also talk about how much money they were making. They just didn't care anymore. Mm-hmm. So there are so many different moving parts. There are so many grains of sand in so many gears that the company was doomed. But the lack of creative ideas outside of everybody wants to be NWO because NWO is a big deal. Well, now here's NWO White. Here's NWO Red. Here's the Latino World Order, which is now back, but in a different way. It was a good idea that they just didn't have any more. So I don't even know if it was lucky. It was just like, well, this one's good. Let's just keep doing it. People like it.
Apart from poor Dimitri, who thinks that Hulk Hogan's trying to take over the world. I mean...
He's not wrong. We don't know.
Trauma for a child.
I still look over my shoulder for Terry sometimes.
I mean, you should. Like, we all should. Like, let's just make sure he doesn't creep back in while the door is half open. Come on.
I try to read as many wrestling books as I can. And of course, I'm going to assume everyone in this chat has read it. But if anyone listening has not read The Death of WCW... I highly recommend this book. I think I reread that book maybe once every 2 years because it is so captivating to see the how much runway you get from a really good idea, even when you're ruining it. Because they were unstoppable when the NWO was running roughshod. There was a good 3 year period where the NWO was so popular. It didn't matter what the booking was. The booking could be nonsensical. The booking could be so stupid it's insulting. And yet, the people kept coming back because WCW was the most exciting thing in town because they had the NWO. And sure, maybe Dennis Rodman would wrestle the worst match you could ever possibly imagine. Or just not show up. Maybe they would sign a deal with a rap group that had no wrestling ability whatsoever and was not popular in this Southern-branded wrestling promotion. There was no beating them because the money kept coming in. But as you read the book and if you watch WCW, there comes a point where the runway gives out and you've got to take off. And if you don't, you're going to crash. And that's exactly what happened to them in 1999. By then, we'd seen it all. They've done everything they could do. And their solution was, let's do it all over again. Let's do the same matchups. Mm-hmm. Let's do the same storylines. Let's make things even more nonsensical. Let's randomly throw Ric Flair in the desert and drive away and laugh about it.
Hold on. That's an idea that can be revisited. Hold on. Let's not be hasty.
Discount everything.
Don't throw the baby away with the bathwater.
That's a fair point. At least now if we did it, we'd all know why. Back in the WCW days, there was no reason. There's no logic to the booking. Fair. And it caught up with them. And I think the lesson here is bookers like to blame everything but themselves. But the secret here is when you have a good idea, have an endpoint. Have an endpoint. Know where the story's going. It's the same thing that brings people issues with modern-day Star Wars, especially that new trilogy. Mm. There was no ending in sight because they just wanted to figure out where they were going along, and it ran out of steam and it died. This NWO needed a stopping point, a logical stopping point, and they just didn't have one.
Well, they eventually did because they were bought in 2001, disappeared. And, you know, at the time, we've talked about Invasion before on here and what a failure it was, and a large part of that being that every talent you would want to see wasn't going to show up. I wouldn't either if I was under contract and getting paid millions of dollars to sit at home and not be hurt constantly. Sounds great. But by 2002, those deals are up. And in February of 2002, we start getting the NWO hints from Vince because he's lost control of the company to Ric Flair. And he starts talking about, I'm going to put a poison into WWE. And it turns out to be the New World Order, a returning Nash, Hogan, and Hall.
You might feel like that, Hal, if you've been left in the desert. about it.
Hey, they did put The Rock in an ambulance and then ram it with an 18-wheeler. Mm. So
it's quite rude.
They were up to their old antics. They left him in the desert of pain.
Aren't we all in the desert of pain, Hal? Aren't we all?
Yeah, we are, sadly.
It was hard to watch at that period because that's about when I stopped watching wrestling because it was not dissimilar to seeing a very cool person come back after years, after time has passed them by, and they still think they're still a very cool person, and they're decidedly not. It was like watching that 60-year-old guy who, like, his kids don't talk to him anymore and his family hates him, but he's still wearing his varsity jacket and talking about how, oh, man, if Coach had put me in for that last play, we would have totally won states. That's what it was watching the NWO in the 2000s. It was tired. It was old. And there were cooler wrestlers that they were stealing airtime from with their boring gimmick. It was hard to watch.
It really was. And we got Hogan Rock out of it, which obviously was a big deal because it was Hogan Rock. Hall was gone almost immediately. He just couldn't go. He was in the throes of his struggles. You know, Nash was hurt constantly.
Constantly.
Like, it just didn't... And they tried to do the same thing, too. They had X-Pac in there. They had brought in Booker T during the Booker T and Goldust stuff, which was maybe one of the highlights of that era. And it got in the way of that. It was a weird transitional period for WWE that didn't make it any better having them there. The last time they appeared was at WrestleMania 31, your grand return to wrestling, where they got involved in the underbooked Triple H versus Sting match, because I think they only had 50 people come out to get involved in it.
Wasn't that like weirdly during the day?
Yeah. It was.
Yeah.
And we were all like, why are Sting and The Undertaker happening in broad fucking California daylight? Yeah.
They need the gentle cover of darkness. They really need... that natural filter.
Like in spring, it doesn't get dark here until like 6 or 7. So yeah, the whole thing is in broad fucking daylight, and all of a sudden there's Sting dusty. And it's like, ooh, I'm spooky. And it's like, ooh, you're melting because it's hot.
Well, it had to be during the daytime because the NWO had to go to bed at 4 p.m.
So. That's true. Yes. That's true. That's they true. Had to clock back into the home. And take
and WrestleMania is now 20 weeks long. Yeah, so. Oh,
those poor boys.
They got to go to Sizzler on the way back, I heard, to get dinner. Early dinner. It's cheaper if you go then.
It was salad bar only. They had to pay if they wanted entrees.
Oh, yeah. They ran on that salad. But you can't get multiple plates. You have to go one plate at a time. So they eat a lot of food. They still eat a lot of food. They're big people. Yeah.
It was a surreal experience watching my childhood tormentors, let's say, come out in wide leg carpenter jeans and very comfortable shoes. Oh man, didn't you guys used to ride motorcycles and ram into ambulances? Oh, now you look very comfortable.
Another on Rascal.
And wasn't that sketches. Ramp so long?
It was so long.
Yeah, they
long.
Had to get down that incredibly long ramp. Mm-hmm.
It's not cool. It's not nice.
Which was why Rusev had a tank.
Yeah.
He's always thinking ahead. He's always thinking ahead, that Rusev. He's very walking. Smart fellow.
Please. The other thing about NWO that made it work, especially at the beginning, was that kayfabe was still... intact in some way. The internet hadn't given rise to the quote smart unquote fan. You know, we weren't as enamored with why things were happening. We were just watching them happen. Do you think there's any chance that something like this could be pulled off by anybody today?
It's a great question. You know, kayfabe is alive for kids. I mean, even if they're connected. Kids are buying into wrestling storylines today as if they're a real deal. And I think that when you approach wrestling, obviously we're all adults. We're all adults theoretically. But I think if we allow ourselves to approach it with the enthusiasm of our childhood selves, we can be taken for a ride again. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great idea. I think that we should all approach wrestling media with that same childhood enthusiasm that brought us in the first place. I don't know if anything can ever do what the NWO did again, but I think that if we suspend disbelief, we turn off the internet, we stop looking at the message boards, and let these people tell us a story, we can be enthralled again.
I want that.
You asked a
I
lot.
Want that. Like, I want that.
I'm going to do all of that, but I also want to know the mess, but that's just because I'm a piece of shit. So, so I'm going to both suspend disbelief and also hear all the mess.
The NWO experienced the highest highs and the lowest possible lows, over bloated, horrific lows. What is their ultimate legacy? Because it's hard to separate, can't really separate the good from the bad. It's as a whole. How do you see them, Dimitri?
You clued in on it very early. The idea that heels can be cool. I think you don't get the Judgment Day without the NWO. Mm-hmm. Anyone who is very clearly a heel but still attracting that big positive pop no matter what they're doing, they can thank the NWO for making that nuance. Yes, I know you're a heel, but I still like you and I'm a big fan of you. Mm-hmm. It used to be heels would get actual guns pointed at them or chase their car or things thrown at them. Now we all like a bad guy, or we all like a bad girl, or a bad person. We can now embrace the fact that if a character is bad but still entertaining us, it's okay for us to get on board. And look at what it used to be, that a heel would have, no one wanted to be a heel because they wouldn't sell merchandise. These days, I would argue, unless you're Cody Rhodes, if you're a heel and you're a good one, you're selling more than the faces.
Yeah.
True facts.
That's true. I can only think of one person who only gets heat, and that's Dominic Mysterio. And it's amazing. And he even got a pop at the Royal Rumble when he did the hot tag with R-Truth.
Oh, yeah.
because he did it.
Every other heel has a moment where they get to look cool. Mm. Fucking Rhea gets them every time she's on, like, in the ring. Dom is one of the only ones where it's like they never even attempt to make that kid look cool. And every time we as fans try to make him look cool, they will, like, have him eat a chicken nugget or something.
But I do feel like the less we allow him to look cool, I think it will end up building up cool points. Like, I think the more he leans into the, I know I will never be cool. I thought when he ran down to the ring at the Rumble, he did look kind of cool. Like when he came out of the back of the cop car at Mania, I was like, this looks kind of so cool. Funny.
Best entrance ever.
Yeah.
Did you think he looked cool when Rey Mysterio gave him a spanking?
Oddly, yes.
In a different way, but yes, maybe. Maybe. If it had been Rhea, I might have been more interested. I don't know. I'm just saying, just putting it out there.
Sold in the room.
Yeah, WWE late night. Let's just see what happens.
Isn't it weird to be like obviously you can draw a direct line from the NWO to Bullet Club. Isn't it weird that you can draw a direct line from the NWO to Rhea Ripley? That's so bizarre, but it's so true.
Yeah, that's crazy. True.
100%.
And it's all the click, baby. It's the click. It's all click shit. Mm.
In just a bit, we're going to tell you about three things from wrestling that you should know about. But first, here's a little bit more about the Max Fun Drive. Before we take a break, though, let's talk more about the Max Fun Drive. Now, like we've said before, there are tons of gifts that you can get when you go to MaximumFun.org/join at all the levels of Max Fun membership. There are two that we're going to focus on, starting with what is by far the most popular and accessible gift, and that is bonus content from every single Max Fun show across the years, however long the show has been here and producing that bonus content, for just $5 a month. And we've been talking a lot about our commentary for the Triple H Hollywood vehicle, the Chaperone. No idea why that stalled in the garage. But Dimitri, what can Eurovangelist fans hear from your bonus? This is your first bonus content. Tell us about it.
This is our first bonus content, and I think it is absolutely delightful because it has been lying in wait in my brain for 4 years. Lindsay, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. But in 2020, Eurovision was canceled because of COVID-19. So the eternal question that's been bouncing around is, who would have won? We had all the songs, we had all the artists, but there was no Eurovision to determine a winner. Our bonus episode, we are going through all those songs, watching all those music videos, and we're going to tell you who we think would have won Eurovision 2020, answering the unanswerable question.
That is so exciting, I might do a small cry. Like, I don't know how quickly I can get that into my ears and keep it there forever. But I, you know what, I do have $5 to find out the answer to that question. And I encourage everyone to do the same immediately, if not sooner.
Yeah, there are so many things, by the way, just budget-wise, looking at it, there's something that you may be spending $5 on you're not even aware of, or that you just sort of toss off, and you enjoy these shows, probably a lot of them on the network for free every week. There aren't a ton of ads. We're not an ad-supported network at all. So if you were able to take just $5 of that every month and put it towards a Max Fund membership, you are not only getting a good feeling by throwing your support behind something that you love, but you are literally helping podcasts keep the doors open and keep going out over your phone waves every single week. That's the $5 level. Yes, go
and
ahead.
I think it's important to just harp one more time. Mm-hmm. You're not only getting the Tights and Fights episode about the chaperone. Yes. You're not only getting the Year Evangelist episode answering who would have won 2020. You're getting, for $5 a month, every show's BOCO. A BOCO buffet.
BOCO.
And it's truly...
BOCO. BOCO.
You also get extra alliteration about the BOCO.
Anytime.
For just $5 a
month. Okay, and I want to add something else, like real quick. If you hate subscriptions, do not worry. Fear not. You can still pay for like your entire year up front. 60 bucks, just like one time. You don't have to worry about it for the rest of the year. Bam, donezo, complete. Don't even have to think about it. We're here to try to make this easy for y'all because I know me, like I don't like necessarily always like paying month to month to month. If it's like 60 bucks, covers me for a year, take my 60s, I'll see you in 12.
And you know the other cool thing about that I just have to throw in there is that there are shows, much like the other show I do, we got this with Mark and Hal, where we'll put bonus content out throughout the year. So some of those feeds for shows are actually active outside of the drive. There's content being put out on them. And so, for example, last year we did a Hot Ones challenge where the two of us did the flight of Hot Ones sauces as a and did a bunch of mini topics. This year we're putting out the video of that. Only the audio has been released so far. So if you want to see me cursing and sweating and confused and upset at all the choices I've made in life, that's just $5 a month. Think about it. If you don't like what I say about AEW, this is your chance to get me back. You can pretend that Kenny Omega is feeding me those cold, spicy chicken nuggets.
I have to say, as a man who does watch a fair share of AEW, you've sold me. I want to watch that happen immediately.
Good. I got it for you. I got you, man. At the $10 level, you've been asking for the return of pins. The Max Fund pins are back. And ours this year is if Lindsay Kelk were a pin, this would be it. It's the bitch loves a kendo stick pin with a poodle.
It made me so happy the first time I saw it. I don't know if I've ever been so full of joy. Certainly not in recent times. I won't lie to you. We're all amongst friends. Bitch does love a kendo stick. Bitch loves fewer things more than a kendo stick in the world. It's just really, truly magical. A poodle about to throw down. Get that pin. Mm-hmm. Please, friends, do it for yourself. You deserve it. You deserve that little treat. You could be watching Hal eating Hot Ones whilst wearing your pin and then self-soothe with the Eurovangelist 2020 Eurovision extravaganza. What a magical time.
I can't think of a better way to spend a weekend, honestly. That sounds perfect to me.
Right? Because you could do that on Saturday and then Sunday night you could watch The Chaperone along with our commentary and you've got the whole weekend scheduled.
Done and done.
Yeah.
Your pin is so beautiful and I hate to intrude, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that our pin, the Year Evangelist pin, which is a pin you can choose. It highlights an important life truth. It is a beautiful pin structured in the shape of the Swedish flag that reads one of the quotes from our show that one Oscar Montoya made, and it says, "Sweden invented music." That is a fact. We all know that Sweden came up with the idea of music. Yeah. Songs would not exist if it wasn't for the Swedish people. And if you want to proclaim that truth on your chest or on your coat or wherever you want, you can select the Your Evangelist pin and share that truth with everyone.
Here's the great thing. If you've been at the $5 level and you're able to make the jump to $10, you get the pin, the bonus content is already yours. But say you're at the $5 level and going up to 10 is a little bit too steep. Maybe you look at your balance sheet and you go, I can do like a dollar. I can do $2. That is fine. You can boost your membership. And that $1 might seem like, oh, I should be five, but it's one, whatever. That $1 makes a huge difference, not only to the shows you're supporting, but the network. Every little bit helps. There's one more special thing I'm going to throw out there because it's Max Fun Drive. And we're full of surprises here at Tights and Fights. If we make it to just 100 new upgrading or boosting members, we're going to do something very special. How many of you out there, raise your hands, I can't see you, yell at us or are trying to have a conversation with us while you're listening to the podcast? Well, guess what? If we hit that number of 100 every month, we are going to pick one Max Fund member out of that pool of people who have joined, upgraded, or boosted this drive and invite them onto the show to talk about wrestling with us. You already heard us do this on Friday. We had so much fun. We're going to do it again and again, 11 more times after that. And that's a promise from us to you. The only way to make that happen? MaximumFun.org/join. Check the box for Tights and Fights. Check the box for Eurovangelists. Check the box for America.
Awesome. Just stop it, Julian. Just turn everything else off now. Like, that's the world.
We're done.
Go.
We're done.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin, and I'm joined by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Kelk
and
Dimitri Pompei.
Now we're going to share three things from the wrestling world that you should know about. This is the three count.
Watch my three count. One, two, three. Get out of there.
That was sick.
Dimitri, your company, so you get to go first. What would you like to put over?
That's so kind. Thank you so much. As we move into a Bailey face turn, I would like to put over Bailey, or heel Bailey's, hatred of Michael Cole. Throughout her entire run as a heel, she has done nothing nice to Michael Cole. She has harassed him. She's insulted him. There are lots of great videos of her. There's one in particular I think of when he's doing some lines for a commercial, and she's just insulting everything he's saying line by line. It's just, it has been such a magical thing to watch Bailey just absolutely hate Michael Cole. I think my absolute favorite moment was when she was doing commentary with him while Bianca was in the Bianca was doing a match with someone who I can't remember at the time, and Michael Cole pronounces Bianca's name wrong. and she just lets him have it, and it's just the best thing I've ever heard in my life.
Look at Bianca, Carmella faceplant, cover now by Bianca.
Bianca? Bianca, you stupid idiot! Her name is Bianca Belair!
Here is your winner, the SmackDown Women's Champion, Bianca Belair!
What more do you want? What more do you want?
Gorgeous.
I wish ringtones were still a thing, because I would make that my ringtone.
Yo.
Didn't she also once tell Santa Claus to give Michael Cole a lump of coal? Yeah.
That did happen.
I believe so.
That yep. did happen. There's almost been too much. I hope someone has made a compilation of Bailey's mm-hmm. hatred for Michael yeah. Cole. If Please. Not, I will do it. I don't know how. I'm not great with video editing, but I will learn for this purpose. Because once again, I will say, as she moves into what is very likely a face run, who knows what will happen? Maybe she'll like Michael Cole.
I do hope not. that's the one thing she keeps. I hope that's the one thing she retains. It's like, you know, yes. I might be on the right side of history now, Michael Cole, but I still hate you. Like, that, I'm down for that. I think we could go that with that.
It's like how Leslie Knope, like, hates the library. Like, yeah. It's like that where it's like, she's like this person filled with light and love, but she just really, really fucking hates the library.
My dream would be she goes back to the wacky waving tube men, and she's just being face Bailey again. She's having a great time. Walks by Michael Cole, just gives him the bird. That's all I could ask for.
That would be beautiful.
That'd be fantastic. Danielle, what would you like to put over?
I don't know if this is putting over, or if it's just that I want to fucking talk about it. As I think we explained before, we usually record these on Wednesday nights. Occasionally, if something big happens, we'll do multiple episodes, but usually we do these on Wednesday nights. So as we are doing this, Dynamite is live. And right before we went on air, fucking Ricky Starks posts a photo holding his belt in, I'm assuming it's backstage. It could be at a hotel. It looks like it's backstage with Gypsy Rose Blanchard. For those of you who don't know, she is known because her mom had Munchausen's by proxy syndrome. tortured her with unnecessary medical procedures her entire life. She had her mom killed. There was a Hulu movie. I think it won
Hulu
an Emmy
TV
or something.
Show that my husband edited. So very familiar with the Gypsy Rose Fletcher story in this house. In this house. Woof.
Yeah. So, and she did go to prison. She is now free of prison. And apparently, she has started her bad bitch era. She has been all over social media. She has been doing all of the interviews. And part of it is hanging out while wearing what looks like wrist guards and hanging out with Ricky Starks. I don't know if she actually appeared on the program. I only know that I saw that video and dropped my phone and then immediately started texting people with just the word what. I assume nothing will come of this. It's probably just that, like, she's free now and, you know, she wants to go to WrestleMania, which I would do that.
She's been out of prison for 1 month and 3 days. And she's at Dynamite. She's at Dynamite. But thank
Busy
you
month.
For sending me that text message, and I had to go in and interrupt my husband's workday. He was in a meeting. It didn't go down well, but it was important information that now also the entire production team of Tell Me Lies also now knows that Gypsy Rose Blanchard was at Dynamite this evening.
I am very happy that she is able to finally start living a full life. And she is living it to the fullest. And that's, I have nothing else to say other than holy shit. Gypsy Rose Blanchard, like, what is happening? What is happening?
Let's just wait and see if she's at Mania. Let's see if she's at Mania. That's all I need to know.
I would be. Yeah. I'm getting out of prison for saving myself from my mother who tortured me all of my life. Yeah, okay. I'm going to WrestleMania.
Do you see the very clear pathway in there? Put Gypsy Rose with Dom. Jail, abusive parents,
oh God.
Revenge.
Hide, Ray.
Come on.
Run, Ray. Run.
She might. I mean, Gypsy Rose seems like she is trying to have the fun that she never got to have in her life, so I'm not... And it's WWE, so someone might suggest that. I'm just saying, it's wild. We live in a wild world.
Oh, no.
They had George Santos, and now they have Gypsy Rose.
Lindsay, what do you want to put over?
This conversation. Just more of this. More of this. But since I apparently have to pick something, I will also be putting over just Drew McIntyre's entire online existence this week. He has really gone above and beyond. I don't even know how to start describing it, because what you've seen on the TV, where he's been very cruel and very mean and laughed at poor old crying Phil and hurt poor old crying Phil's arm a little bit more than he'd already hurt it, that's nothing compared to what he's been doing on the internet, just savagely destroying poor old crying Phil. Please go and look at his Instagram. Please go and look at his TikTok, wherever you need to see it. He very kindly has posted on multiple platforms for us. But yeah, Drew McIntyre, who knew? Online savage. Online savage. But also a very cute cat. So
such a cute cat. I want to hug that cat so bad.
Time to tear up those triceps.
I used to break the times like this, to rhyme like this, so I had to burn like that.
The layers to what he's playing in the back, because I believe, is that Meek Mill that he's playing? Is that Dreams and Nightmares? Is that where that is? And Meek Mill is very, very famously from Philadelphia.
Correct.
Which is where WrestleMania is. And Drew did that promo where he was like, I remember this happening, and then I went to home and I dreamed that you would be so injured you couldn't do this.
He prayed for it, Danielle. He prayed for it. To a higher power.
So the layers in that song choice and in that video, Drew spent a lot of fucking time thinking about this, y'all. Like, this was very masterfully done. This was definitely done for an audience of one. Was Danielle Radford? There's a cat. there's beef.
There's hip-hop deep references. It was amazing. Thank you, Lindsay, for having me listen to it again, because it was so fucking dope.
Thank you for the Gypsy Rose text. Like, see what we do for each other on this podcast? We know each other.
Thank you.
Friendship.
That's true. Yeah.
Let me put it to you this way. As a person who does not particularly care for the antics of one Phil Brooks, not that I never wish for injuries. That's not great.
Sure.
But as a person who sometimes listens to the Fragile Ego promo that Jon Moxley cut against Phil to go to sleep, I have not felt so seen since Kofi Mania. Drew is speaking my language.
In a lot of ways, it's just for you. By the way, WrestleMania in Philadelphia, my hometown. You know who's potentially interested in going? My dad.
Aww.
My dad's interested to go. I said, do you want to go to WrestleMania? He said, yeah, maybe.
Hal, I'm going to tweet at Cody Rhodes and he's going to get your dad to WrestleMania.
Making dreams come true, that
just
Cody
my
Rhodes.
My dad? Yes. No.
Your dad.
But the trick is you have to send him a picture of my dad. That's the trick. Because if he thinks he's doing it for civil rights, he'll do it.
Wrestling fandom has more than one cloying family.
Look, if your dad's on the fence about whether or not he should go to Mania, just send him a picture of Rhea Ripley and he'll be buying tickets that day.
Oh, he's actually camped out. He's camped out at the link right now. You know, speaking of Cody, he's trying to finish his story ostensibly against the tribal chief, Roman Reigns, who in addition to being in God mode for several years now, was a footballman, an American footballman. So he knows the sport. How well does he know it? Here are his predictions for the Super Bowl back in August, along with an update from the GOAT himself.
Number two, we got the Chiefs. Returning Super Bowl champions, mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce. You fill in everything else, and that's all you really need, and they're proven. So I like them at the two spot. But the number one spot, we already know what it is, the Niner gang, baby.
Oh, Lord.
49ers all the way.
As the wise man says, it's not a prediction. It's a spoiler.
You tell him, Joe. That's right, Joe. Joe knows football. Sorry. That does it for this episode of Tights and Fights. This week, your hosts were Danielle Radford and Lindsay Kelk, along with me, Hal Loveland. A huge thank you to Dimitri Pompei for joining us. Plug again. Tell everybody. Eurovangelists, come on.
The Eurovangelists on the Maximum Fun Network, anywhere you get your podcast. If you have no idea what Eurovision is, if you're a longtime fan, if you're somewhere in the middle, we've got something for you. We're going to make you love this contest. Come join us for Eurovision season.
Fantastic. Our producer is the total pun stop action, Julian Burrell. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music, so we're putting him over for that. One last time, that is MaximumFun.org/join to show your love for Tights and Fights and Eurovangelists, along with all of your other Max Fun shows. Thank you to everybody who's been contributing so far. And if you're thinking of doing it, now is the time. Do it now while you're thinking of it. Don't wait until later. Show how much you love this show and you want it to continue at MaximumFun.org/join.
Yeah, it's a podcast. You can pause it and we'll still be here. You could do it while you're listening to us. My phone allows me to do two things at once, which is sometimes a struggle, but I can, in fact, listen to something whilst I'm on the internet. We cannot thank you enough. Like, we really, really, truly, I know you've heard it 1,000 times. You've probably heard it a million times over Max Fun Drive, but our show is the little show that could. We are not a massive show by any stretch of the imagination. As we've also told you, we are not bringing in those big advertising dollary dues. They have somehow evaded us up until this point. And I just don't know if they're coming. So if it wasn't for your contributions, if it wasn't for you listening to this right this very second, for the contributions that you are able to make to support us, keep the show on the air, keep Julian in a job, we just wouldn't exist. This wouldn't happen. And we wouldn't get to hang out with each other and have the best time. We wouldn't have gotten to meet Dimitri. I wouldn't get to scream at him about Eurovision while you all aren't listening. And I would not get to talk to two of my very favorite people in the whole wide world every week about one of my very favorite things. And Yeah, thank you. I'm just going to start crying. So I'm just really going to stress. Thank you. Couldn't do it without you. Get that BOKO.
Yes, thank you so much. And also, hey, we know times are tough. Share us with your friends. Let them know how much fun you're having and, you know, how much fun you have over on all of our socials. So once again, that is MaximumFun.org/join. Thanks, y'all.
It really is the highlight of our weeks to make these shows for you. It is a great joy, and your support makes that possible. If I may borrow from one Cody Rhodes, help Tights and Fights finish the story. If I may borrow from Belgium's entry to Eurovision last year, we can only make these shows because of you. Thank you so much to everyone out there. Very much appreciate you.
Thank you to all the Max Fun members that keep this show going, especially now during Max Fun Drive, where you can see the fruits of your membership paying off every single week. Keep up with us all week long on all of our social media channels. Those are in the show notes. Find our Tights and Fights WrestleMania shirt at MaxFunStore.com and celebrate Ice Cream Christmas all year long. We'll be back next week for more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Yeah, here comes the pain. Bow to the masters. This is a podcast. They are podcasters. Max Fun's the network. Tights and Fights is the name.
Maximum Fun.
A worker-owned network.
Of artist-owned shows.
Supported
directly
by you.